This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. I'm Oisín Langan, and what you're hearing in the background is the sounds of Talla Stadium celebrating a 3-1 victory for Shamrock Rovers against Bowes. We'll get the analysis of former Shamrock Rovers and Bowes keeper Barry Murphy shortly. He was in Talla. We'll also hear from ExtraTime.com's Ronan McNamara. Who would have thought, though, that with all that was going on this evening, the most... Well, I don't know if it was an entertaining game because I wasn't at it, but the biggest result of the night would actually come at the Ryan McBride Brandywell, where Stephen Walsh's goal gave Galway United a 1-0 victory against Derry City. Gareth McGlynn was at that game. We'll hear from him shortly. Shelburne overcame Dundalk by 2-0. Sligo got a 1-0 win away to Waterford, and Drogheda drew nil-all with St. Pat's. I was about to say held St. Pat's to a nil-all draw, but they both kind of held each other to a nil-all draw, if that makes sense. We'll get the analysis of former Drogheda player John Flanagan and former St. Pat's defender Colin Hawkins on that game. In the First Division, by the way, Cork City won 1-0, which means that they have stretched out their lead at the top. We'll have a full run-through of that in a moment. But first, let's go to Talla Stadium, where Shamrock Rovers earned a 3-1 victory against Bowes. Watching this one for us was ExtraTime.com's Ronan McNamara, and afterwards he sent us this voice note.
Yeah, Oisín, full time here at Talla Stadium, and an ominous second half display from Shamrock Rovers has given them a 3-1 win over Bohemians for their fifth successive home win over the Gypsies in the Dublin Derby, and their eighth in the last nine games. First half was pretty tepid stuff. Bowes started the stronger, really came out with the traps. Lots of aggressive pressing and closed Rovers down really, really well. Rovers then really kind of kicked on in the second half, and I suppose they kind of did Bowes at their own game, really. They started the second half really, really quickly with serious intent, and they paid dividends. Bowes just weren't able for it at all. Two quick-fire goals from Johnny Kenny, who was really starting to endear himself to the Shamrock Rovers fans after a difficult year last year. And then a really, really good finish from Dara Burns from the penalty spot. One touch and bang, low into the corner. And 8 minutes into the second half, the game was pretty much over. Aaron Green poked home a third goal with just over 15 minutes to go. And it was real party atmosphere then. Really, really ominous display in the second half from Shamrock Rovers. Like Stephen Bradley, I'm sure he'll be in the dressing room tonight, and you'll know that his team are back. They're purring. You know, the drive for five is very much on track. They're in cruise control tonight. It became easy for them. Once they stepped up the tempo, there was a real gulf in class between the two sides. And Shamrock Rovers, in fairness, are just streets ahead of Bohemians, who lacked a lot of leadership, lacked quality, and just honestly lacked a bit of spirit in the second half. It was a really, really pitiful performance overall. But full-time here, Shamrock Rovers 3, Bohemians 1.
ExtraTime.com's Ronan McNamara, who was at Talla Stadium. Also at Talla Stadium was Barry Murphy, former Shamrock Rovers, Bowes and St. Pat's keeper. Barry joins me from his car now. Barry, put a bit of meat on the bones of what Ronan was saying there. What kind of game was it?
Brilliant occasion. Great for both clubs to be involved in and to be live on TV as well to showcase the quality of the league and probably what's the best stadium in the division and the country in terms of football anyway, in terms of League of Ireland football. But yeah, just a great occasion to come out and witness. And in the end, it turned out to be a really good game. And it didn't start off too great, but yeah, second half, it really kicked off.
And what was it about the second half that was different to the first, for those, including me, who didn't see it?
Rovers' intensity. I'd say there was a rollicking at halftime. They just were second to everything in the first half. McDonald and Flores just picked up everything as a two in centre mid for Bowes. They were excellent first 10, 15 minutes and really high kind of line. Didn't let Rovers play out. Attacked really high up and won ball back up and caused a lot of problems for Rovers. And probably the only negative for them was that McDonald and Flores picked up yellow cards, which really kind of put a dampener on their performances because they had to kind of tailor back a little bit into the second half and Rovers exposed that.
And Bowes, I suppose they just couldn't replicate what they did in the first half. Was it a case of them hanging on, sitting deep, frustrating, or how did they stop Rovers getting any goals and maybe even chances in the first half? Again, I'll repeat, I haven't seen it, so I'm guessing as opposed to asking questions.
Yeah, Rovers kind of hit them on the counter-attack in the first half. Dara Burns had a great chance, although Bowes probably shaded in terms of possession and kind of overall playing the first half, Rovers had probably the better of the chances. Darragh Burns had a great chance, ball over the top, cut back onto his left, and the keeper made a good save. But prior to that, there wasn't much in it. It was kind of a typical derby, nice and tight, and you thought maybe it was going to be a set piece that opened it up, but something clicked at halftime. As I alluded to, I'd say it was rollicking at halftime from the Rovers bench, and they just came out all guns blazing, the Rovers. It was kind of a poor defensive header from Mills, that from a Honaghan cross straight to Watson. This shot looked to be kind of really going nowhere, but Kenny controlled it well and finished really well inside a 6-yard box. And then from then, Rovers were cruising. Graham Burke just found so much space and a brilliant ball back across the 6-yard box by Burns, and it's 2-0 and it's game over at that stage. You know, Bowes kind of looking to change it up. I think after the first goal, they didn't get a chance. They were hit with the second so quickly after. They went to a 4-4-2. Dale Rooney going on to the left, Danny Grant onto the right, and it just gave Brian Burke so much space, and that little bit of space he craves and takes full advantage of, picking up that kind of little pocket in behind and just picking out slide rule passes down the side of centre half. It was really only going to go one way from that, and it could have been four as it went. It could have been 4 or 5 in the end.
And was it pace out wide that Rovers really got Bowes within the second half, or was it pace through the middle? Was it pace everywhere? And in a situation like that, if you're defending, very hard to stop that for that a full 45 minutes.
Yeah, it was. It was attacks coming from everywhere. To be honest, Honaghan, I think, picked up man of the match in the end. He was excellent on the left-hand side. And Darragh Burns, that new kind of position, wide right, where he can tailor back onto his left foot and open the pitch up from he was excellent. But out of all that, it was kind of Cater was strong-armed a couple of times. Johnny Kenny out-muscled him and got in, got a great chance in on goal and blasted over. And then a couple of minutes later, the warning signs were there for Cater and Nugent as well to find Aaron Green, who strong-armed Cater again and just toe-poked it into the net. It was just really naive from Bowes after all that hard work. It was really undone by a bit of naivety from Bowes at the back end, and Aaron Green, as he tends to do, comes on and takes full advantage of it. But Rovers had attacks coming from everywhere. Richie Tell came on, had a couple of chances, and you just have so much quality. You're just not going to keep them at bay if you don't offer much of a threat up front for Bowes, which they really didn't.
It's scary to think that this is a Rovers team that Jack Byrne has to come into still, isn't it?
It's going to be formidable, and they're missing Rory Gaffney tonight as well. They really missed him in the first half. The link-up play just wasn't there. The intensity that he brings, running into corners, and that kind of hold-up play, and link-up play, as I mentioned, that he brings to the team just wasn't there. And you thought, maybe there's something going to be here for Bowes tonight. But Rovers, and Johnny Kenny, to be fair to him, did really well. He had a couple of chances, probably should have got his name on the score sheet again. But yeah, he stepped in and did really well for deputising for Gaffney. And they just have quality everywhere to bring in off the bench, even the quality they brought on Richie Tells. Just brilliant quality everywhere.
It's 2 goals in 2 games now for Kenny. Granted, there's been the international break in between. Is he now turning into the kind of player you know could nick you one, as opposed to the player that, and by the way, he's a kid, so I wouldn't be criticising him for this, but I would just say that in the last couple of seasons, or last season, it never looked like a fait accompli that he was going to score. You never were quite sure whether or not he was going to come up with an end product. Whereas in the last 2 games, maybe he's giving evidence to suggest that, you know, he is the man, and he's the guy that you need who will get you those goals.
Yeah, he's creating chances, and that's all you can really ask of him. It's kind of funny. He's somewhere in between Gaffney and Green as the player-wise. He offers that kind of Gaffney work rate and Green work rate, but he just has that little nose and a bit of finish that Aaron Green has that maybe Rory doesn't have in abundance. Aaron Green comes on and always finds himself a goal. He's somewhere in between, and that's a brilliant trait to have. And I'd say on the pecking order, he's probably just behind Gaffney at the moment, but he's moving right up there. He's shown when he comes on, he can get those type of goals. But again, tonight, it was a half chance, really. It was a watch shot from the edge of the box that was going through a 3 metres wide, and he gets a lovely touch, and it controls it really well and slots it home. And that's what you're looking for, your centre forward, that kind of Gary Twigg mould, just knows where to be and picks up goals.
I have to remind myself that this is not a case of Rovers are now X points clear. They're still not particularly near the top of the table. The reckoning is that they will be towards the end of the season, and they'll start climbing from here on in. But what was the reaction, or was there any reaction, or were you paying attention to Galway against Derry? And when Galway went 1-0, was there any talk around the place, or was there any reaction?
There was murmurings, all right. I think there was eyes were more towards Talk Park. I think it was when Shells went 2-0 up, I think that was kind of all right. That's 3 points there anyway. And then when Dundalk pulled them back and people were kind of hanging around a little bit longer in the seats to see whether maybe there'd be an equaliser there. But yeah, it's just a really poor result for Derry up there. That's kind of typical Derry the last couple of seasons. You think they're going to go on a run and then you go and throw in a result and a performance like that. And that's similar to Pat's, another really poor performance away from home. It's just not looking good for them at the moment. And Rovers now seem to have got a march going again, and they win their game in hand. I think they're only 7 points behind Shell, so you know it's looking good for them at the moment.
Was there any positives to take from a Bowes point of view?
Yeah, they were excellent first 15-20 minutes, full of endeavour. I think Alan Reynolds couldn't have really asked for more with working with them for 2 days. You know, they set up with a really high line, a high block, and didn't let them play out and pay dividends. And they were unlucky not to score early on. But listen, Alan's got his job cut out for him, but he's got a squad there that's going to listen to him and it's going to work for him. And he's probably got to tighten up, just silly goals given away again. He's got to tighten up the defence a little bit. But they've definitely got quality around the pitch. And it's just, you kind of struggle to see where goals might come from up top. They just didn't really offer anything up front, and Mitch Nafalavi up front again, like this season, I think just they haven't really replaced him yet, and just it didn't offer a threat. So that's probably an area that they're going to need to address pretty soon.
Is it an odd one for Bowes, because fans would probably want them to be in the hunt for Europe at the very least, but Alan Reynolds is just in. We don't know an awful lot about some of their signings. There's definitely talented players there. Whether or not they're League of Ireland compatible, I don't know, but is it not a free shot for Alan Reynolds, but is it a kind of case of, well, if you do well with this squad and can get us in contention for Europe, that's okay for this season?
Yeah. You look at the, like, they have a game in hand as well. They win that game in hand and they're only 9 off the top. Like, so you put any sort of run together and coming into that period around the European time when everyone else is going off to those European pictures, you can stay in contention then and kind of claw back results and take advantage of other teams playing 3 games in a week, and you've got that rest period. Then he's got a great chance coming into the latter end of the season. But yeah, I think his rematch this year probably will be kind of, listen, if we can nick that fourth spot into Europe, brilliant. But we need to be up, definitely challenging for it anyway, and next year we kick on. But you just look at the quality of teams up there now, and Sligo getting a win again tonight. You know, it's just so different and open for anyone to put a run together and really challenge this year. So he's not going to discount himself from mounting some sort of challenge in the top three anyway.
And look, there's an awful lot of talent in that squad, and I'm probably being overly negative by saying we're not sure what they're capable of. And Aaron Green came off the bench and scored. Now, as someone who played in the League of Ireland for a prolonged period of time, I presume at some point you played with Aaron.
I did. I played him with Bowes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk to me about him, because he just, like, he just stays at the top. And I imagine that's because he's an incredibly hard worker, an incredibly dedicated guy. And look, he's a nice fella. I've talked to him, but that doesn't keep you in a squad like Shamrock Rovers alone. They're not keeping him around because he's a nice fella. I'm sure it helps, but it's not the only thing that's keeping him there.
No, absolutely not. It's cutthroat business, and if you weren't doing a job, you're not going to be around. But Aaron does his job every time he comes on, and he's doing it with a smile on his face as well. There's no moping around. If I'm only getting 5 minutes here, he comes on and makes an impact whatever time he comes on. Tonight he came on and just out muscled Keita at centre half. He was excellent. Just a little slider, a pass down, and a ball in. Fall into him, and he just out muscles Kate, and it's a toe poke home. But that seals the game. That seals the 3 points, and he goes off to his goal bonus and is happy at the end of the day. And that's the smiles all around the Rovers starting 11, and the lads coming off the bench as well. So it looks like a happy camp, despite kind of an enthusiastic kind of start.
Give me an insight that fans wouldn't know, that those of us who only see him on the field of play and occasionally chat to him. Give us an insight into what he's like around the training ground and around the group.
He's brilliant. He's just a good lad. I would have gone travel over to him at Bowes now from Tala over to the north side with him a couple of times. And he's just a good lad to have around. He's when he's asked to do a job, he's going to do it and to the best of his ability. And he's just just good to be in the dressing room. He's not going to mope when he's not involved or not in the starting 11, which can seep in. You get one or two of those players in the team that aren't happy not starting, and in a squad as big as Rovers, you could easily have that. And it's down to the management as well of how enthusiastic these lads coming on. But Aaron Green's just shown that throughout his career. Pats, Bowes, Rovers, like, he's been at the big teams, you know, and he's done it for all of them, and he's still scoring goals at the biggest club in the country.
And is he a bit of a nightmare for keepers? Because you know, if a cross comes in, you're going to have this big frame colliding with you.
Yeah, it's something I don't remember him ever being that big, but just seeing him tonight and then muscling Cater, who wasn't the small guy. Yeah, he's definitely added that to his armour as well. But no, he's got that kind of Glenn Crow toe poke finish that's kind of a nightmare, because he can't get set as a goalkeeper. I don't know where he's going to put it. And he's like he's got that. He can score from with headers as well. He's got a bit of everything, but yeah, he's definitely makes an impact when he comes off the bench.
Yep, he certainly does. And I think it says an awful lot about the Rovers management team that they've kept him around when it would be easy to go off and buy someone or, you know, put all your chips on a young up-and-comer. They're like, nope, this guy's still doing a job. He's staying around, and it's good to see as well. Barry Murphy, formerly of Shamrock Rovers, St. Pat's and Bowes, thanks very much for joining us on the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. You're talking to us from your car in the environs of Tallaght Stadium at the moment. Where are you heading to a game on Monday?
Yeah, I think I might make a trip out to Talbot Park. It looks like it's going to be a good one now. Yeah, it's a derby off the back of tonight. We'll be looking to try and get something back now against Shells, but Shells fine as well, so it should be an interesting one.
You know, that was my way of asking, can you come back on Monday? And I was just trying to find out what game you were going to. I knew full well you were going to go to a game. You couldn't stay away.
No, the mobile office, the car will be there on Monday, so we'll chat then.
Barry, thanks for joining us.
Cheers, Richie.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and that was Barry Murphy, formerly of St. Pat's, Bowes, and of course Shamrock Rovers, on Shamrock Rovers' 3-1 victory against Bowes. Let's find out how Galway United managed to get a victory away to Derry City, 1-0 the final score. Former Derry City and Bohemians player Gareth McGlynn was at the game, and afterwards, he sent us this voice note.
Thanks, Oisin. It's Galway United super sub Stephen Walsh, who scored a brilliant solo goal just 5 minutes from time to stun Derry City at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. It was a striker. In fairness, he went through and he skillfully beat Mark Connolly to calmly finish past Brian Maher. And it's their first win in 4 games for John Coffey's men. Derry, to be honest with you, can have no complaints. They were absolutely atrocious in the game. They just failed to perform, not even managing one shot on target in 96 minutes. Galway wasted no time at the beginning of the game. They were the better team for the first 20 minutes, and the first 20 minutes could be summed up when Carlos Sullivan, it was a long punt forward. He was able to take the ball down in front of the defence, no tackles, no blocks, turn and had a brilliant shot from 20 yards, which Brian Maher did well to save. Derry did produce a little bit of something after the hour mark when Shane McElhinney, he almost converted a corner from Duffy, but it was a downward header, went just wide of the target. Galway passed up the best chance of the game then in the hour mark when Jordan McInniff lost the ball in his own half, and Vincent Borden immediately played in, even Dervin, who for me was the man of the match. And he put him through on goal. The pacey winger was one-on-one with Brian Maher, but he couldn't beat the goalkeeper, who produced a stunning save to keep his team in it. The biggest cheer of the night then followed with Kieran Harkin, Jackie as he's known, made his return from injury after 2 years of injury hell. The midfielder coming on to replace Jordan McInniff, and that was actually his 100th appearance for the club. But it was ultimately Galway celebrating as they scored a crucial breakthrough goal with just 5 minutes. It was Walsh beating Connolly and Maher with a individual piece of brilliance. It's funny, to me, Dervin was the best player on the pitch, but he actually brought John Caulfield and Ollie Harkin brought him off. I think it was around, let me just get it right here. Yeah, about 68 minutes, and we couldn't believe it. The Derry bench couldn't believe it. He was causing Derry all sorts of problems. They brought on Walsh, and surely you know, he goes and gets a winner. So, terrible night for Derry, an absolutely fantastic result for Galway United.
So Derry City manager Rory Higgins wasn't particularly pleased after the game, as you can imagine, and afterwards he spoke to Drive 105.
It's a rotten night. It's hard to pinpoint and hard to put your finger on it, but it's not acceptable when you play for this football club and the way the club's been built now and all those sort of stuff. And it's unacceptable. And we go down now to Shelburne on Monday, and we need men, and we need to stand up and be counted and make sure that we don't reproduce something like that.
Rory Higgins, the Derry City manager, not impressed with his team. They've now lost two in a row. They need to get it right against Shelburne on Monday in Talca Park. Barry Murphy will be there for us, and he'll give us a full rundown on the extratime.com League of Ireland voice notes podcast late on Monday night or early on Tuesday morning. St. Pat's went to Weavers Park and took a point home, which wasn't bad because Drogheda did have chances. St. Pat's did as well. It was an entertaining scoreless draw. I watched it along with Aoife Mullen, Colin Hawkins and John Flanagan. Of course, Hawkins, formerly of St. Pat's, amongst others, and Flanagan, formerly of Drogheda, for the St. Pat's watch along, which you can check out through the St. Pat's app on every match day. It was a really good game, despite the fact that there was no goals. Colin, John and Aoife discussed it afterwards, and we'll drop in on the point where Colin was talking about it being an entertaining match and that being what the fans want.
That's what you want, lots of excitement for the fans watching, either on the LOI TV or at the ground. There was lots of chances. I keep going back to Drogheda, probably a three really good strong chances, and they're definitely coming off the ones more disappointed. For Pats, it's about regrouping now, resting, recovering and getting ready again. Quick turnaround for Monday and then Friday. So there's a lot of games, you know, three games in a week. So they just got to go again and not feel sorry for themselves. Take the point and move on.
John, your thoughts at the end of that game?
So the first half was quite even. Second half, both sides came out and went at it, and there was plenty of chances. But I think Drogheda probably shaded definitely in terms of chances created and opportunities. But I think Pats would be disappointed that they just weren't, didn't seem to gel, or the link-up play between midfield and forward just isn't there yet. And I suppose both teams probably happy enough for the point, happy enough not to lose. But as Colin alluded to, Pats now are 12 points off the top. There's a big gap opening up there.
Keating barely got a kick of the ball again, and that's probably two or three games now where I've said that, whereas at least Keane Kavanagh came on and he links it up a couple of times late on. So he might look to make a couple of changes on at the top end of the pitch for Monday. Maybe give Keane Kavanagh a start. Maybe give Mason Mealy a start, see how he can get on. But you're right. Like that's a poor return on goal scored. Whereas defensively, it's another good clean sheet.
Like Keating looks to me like a centre forward who needs to play alongside somebody. He's not going to win ball. He's more of a pacey player who likes to get down the sides of centre halves into the channels. And as that focal point, when you're up there on your own, probably Pat Hooven is the ultimate one in the last number of years. You need to be big and strong to hold the ball up and allow your midfield to get up with you.
Yeah, and you're right, that's the formation they're playing. And Keane Kavanagh did it a couple of times there when he came on. He didn't have long to do it, but
yeah,
that's why I'm thinking if he's sticking with that formation, he might look to give Keane Kavanagh a run up there to see, does that make a difference?
This is the extratime.com League of Ireland voice notes podcast. That's almost it. Let's run back through the results and take a look at what's coming over the next couple of days. In the Premier Division, Derry City 0, Galway United 1, Drogheda United 0, St. Pat's 0, Shelburne 2, Dundalk 1, Waterford 0, Sligo Rovers 1 and Shamrock Rovers 3, Bohemians 1. In the First Division, Bray Wanderers 2, Cove Ramblers 2, Cork City 1, Athlone Town 0, Kerry 1, Wexford 1, Longford 1, UCD 2 and Treaty United 0, Finharps 1. That's a big, big win for Finharps at the Markets Field. Let's have a look at the table. The First Division table looks like this. Cork City on top on 17 points. Finharps second on 14 points. UCD third on 12 points. Treaty United fourth on 12 points. 11 points, I beg your pardon. Wexford fifth on 7 points. Cove Ramblers sixth on 6 points. Athlone Town seventh on 6 points. Bray Wanderers eighth on 6 points. Kerry ninth on 4 points. And Longford Town bottom of the pile, but with at least one game in hand on most other teams. They're on 2 points. In the Premier Division, let's have a look at the table there before we take a look ahead to Monday's fixtures. Shelburne on top, 7 points clear. They're on 19 points. Sligo Rovers in second on 12 points. Derry City third on 11 points. Galway fourth on 10 points. Shamrock Rovers fifth on 9 points. Wexford sixth on 8 points. Bowes seventh on 7 points. St. Pat's eighth on 7 points. Drogheda United ninth on 5 points. And Dundalk bottom of the pile on 2 points. What a season Sligo Rovers are having so far. I mean, I know Shells are on top by 7 points, so they deserve an awful lot of credit, but we should still be shining a light on Sligo Rovers. And we will do, by the way, on Monday, because we will have a podcast after their game against St. Pat's. So we'll get the thoughts of John Russell and maybe one or two players. Anyway, on Monday at 1 o'clock, Dundalk take on Drogheda United in a huge Louth derby. Shelburne up against Derry City. St. Pat's take on Sligo Rovers. Waterford meet Shamrock Rovers, and Galway United take on Bowes. That game kicks off at 7:45. It's live on Virgin. Shells, Derry, St. Pat's, Sligo and Waterford, Shamrock Rovers all kick off at 5 at 1 o'clock. Dundalk take on Drogheda. In the first division on Monday, Cove Ramblers take on Longford Town. Wexford up against Cork City. Athlone meet Treaty United. Finn Harps take on Bray, and UCD take on Kerry. The Athlone, Treaty, Finn Harps, Bray and UCD Kerry games all kick off at 5. The Cove Ramblers, Wexford, the Cove Ramblers, Longford and Wexford Cork City matches kick off at 3 o'clock. They are all live on LOI TV, as are the games, well, tomorrow as I speak, but today as you listen most likely, on Saturday between Bowes and Cork City in the SSE or Tricity Women's Premier Division. Shamrock Rovers take on Treaty United. That's at 4 o'clock. The Bowes-Cork City game, by the way, is at 3. Peamount United up against Wexford at 5. Sligo Rovers take on Galway United at 7. And Athlone Town take on Shelburne at 7:30. That's almost it for the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. We have a very busy weekend ahead because we're bringing out a podcast on Monday after the Monday matches. If you've got this far, it means, hopefully anyway, it means you like what you've heard. So if you can subscribe or rate or like or do any of those things that all podcasters ask you to do, regardless of what platform you listen to your podcasts on, we would be very, very grateful. You can keep up with everything Irish football on extratime.com or at Extratime News via Twitter, or X as it's now known. You can get me on X. On at Oisin Langan. I'll talk to you at some point on Monday or early on Tuesday morning. But until then, have a great Easter weekend.